Every single run that I do is in the naked running belt. I'm a mega fan. I've been belt pilled entirely, but no other belts do for me, to be honest. Every day I'm out in the naked running belt. They're a supporter of our show. They're a big supporter of Borderlands, and I'm super thankful. The link is in the show notes before. They've got big news coming later this month, and we get to be a part of announcing it, so stay tuned.
Patrick Stang, be your guest today. Sam and I were wondering, if you, Reese Partouche, maybe Nick Martyr from Norda, let's throw in John Rubin from Una, we're all at the start line of TDS. Who's going to win?
Borderlands. It's the Borderlands Trail and Ultra Running Podcast. My name is Josh Rosenthal. I am the host and I am the founder of Borderlands. Stoked to have Patrick Stang with us today. My dude Sam Losey, who does the high tone stuff at Borderlands, joined me to chat with Patrick. He started Portal. He's been in our awareness. He's been in the zeitgeist for a little while now. We even chat about how did he even get to that point. It just kind of feels like he's been there. Then he starts Portal. He obviously contributed to ROA for a number of years. A lot of different things. But also, and perhaps even more exciting to this audience, is that he just ran TDS. TDS is a race that happens at UTMB, you know, in Chamonix. In America, we obviously kind of prioritize the 100 miler and the 100K and CCC and then OCC even. Well, TDS, I think, is and many others as well, is the next big thing to get on our radar for our great runners to go run. Kareth Arnold won the race this year for United States. So that's a pretty big deal. I'm not saying we're not aware of it at all, but it just doesn't quite live where it deserves. And I think only in the coming years, it's only going to elevate in its status. So super stoked on that. Patrick is a legend and we're just really happy to have him today. Okay, I will be at the RAI Amsterdam for IRX on November 4th and 5th. If you're still thinking about it, if you're on the fence, if you're in the industry in any way, join me there. It's going to be worth your while. 300 plus brands, a ton of networking. I've always been sort of negative about networking, but I've embraced it in the recent years, and Borderlands has been benefiting greatly from it. And IRX, especially if you're in the EMEA markets, is a perfect place for that. But I think globally, it also has its place. I'll be interviewing Dean Karnassus, Scott Jurek, Ian Morgan, looking to layer in some more. It's just a really exciting opportunity. And if you are looking to go, I've got a code that'll get you in for free, November 4th and 5th in Amsterdam. And as usual, the Hyperlite hotline is open from Hyperlite Liquid Performance. They have a new caffeine version. Now on to the show with Patrick Stangby. Here we go. All right, I was at UTMB this year, and it was just an honor to be there. It was just so cool to see the races all happening. You know, I think the race of the future is TDS there. It's such a hard race. It's such a unique race. And in the American audience, at least, it hasn't captured our imagination yet because we haven't heard much about it. But Patrick Stangby, your guest today, founder of Portal, ran that race. And Patrick, just out of the gates, there was this moment where I was standing at the finish line of the CCC, and you were there as all of the gang from Satisfy was there, all of the gang from Norda was there. And so here's you from Portal. It's like this incredible moment of, you know, fashion apparel, you know, at the finish line of CCC. And Sam and I were wondering if you, Brice Partouche, maybe Nick Martyr from Norda, let's throw in John Rubin from Una, we're all at the start line of TDS. Who's going to win?
I mean, I'm Norwegian and the Scandinavians have this, they're not as kind of bold as Americans, right? But maybe let's make a statement for next year. And if they want to make a relay and try to beat me, I'm more than open for it.
I love it, man. Well, you know, one of the things I love about what you're doing with Portal is that, you know, Sam, kind of with our high tone stuff that we do at Borderlands, is like, let's make this runner first. Well, you know, within Portal, I mean, you are very much a runner first person. Like, you are a killer out there. You're just, you know, if you follow what you're doing out in the Alps over the last however many months, I don't know how many months you were there, 3 months or something, just like running all the time. You're a big mountain runner. You're a runner first guy.
Yeah, thank you. I mean, it's what I love. And I think that's also some of the reason for starting a brand eventually. I mean, for us, it was not necessarily just a kind of business opportunity or people make these kind of strategies, or we know what we want to do and how we want to do it. And yeah, we have a plan, but we also just wanted to make something that was for us in the end.
How long have you been running?
I started trail running, like, say, a bit more seriously in 2017. So I did some small trail runs just before that. And yeah, I was a kind of casual runner when I studied. I went to the gym 5 times a week, did a lot of yoga, did some lifting, did some crazy intervals on the treadmill. And I did some fast uphill stuff, but nobody told me it was fast. But I went back to my Nike Runkeeper, like the Nike Run app.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I saw my kind of uphill pace in Bergen because I was running once every 2 weeks. So I was like, wow, this was kind of insane. I mean, I can't do that now, but it was because I had a lot of surplus, right? So
yeah, a lot of fresh legs.
I suppose like I grew up mountain biking and snowboarding, so really close to the trail and the forest. But the trail running came to me because I was scared starting mountain biking again after I finished my studies. So because I think I was too wild on the bike and I was getting older. So yeah.
Help me understand this. At the beginning, you said, you know, this was at least the implication, is that if I was as fast as you and I was asked that question, I would have immediately started talking trash about the other people. You know what I mean? And I'd be like, I'm going to absolutely, you know, dominate. Help us understand, like, you know, most of my audience is American, 70% of them is American. What is the Norwegian, like, mentality? What's the average Norwegian mentality to racing, to competition? Like, you know, in America, it's like, we got to win. Like, you know, what's your head like?
I think people want to win, but you shouldn't talk about the fact that you're a winner. That's the kind of Scandinavian culture, right? Mm. So it's like everyone wants to be a winner, but if you're a winner, don't brag about it. So, and I mean, I collect second places, at least that's what my coach is telling me. So maybe I'm lacking that last kind of like craziness in order to win. And maybe even there are a few races where I came second where like I should have won them. So
yeah.
Maybe I'm like lacking that kind of last kind of push. But yeah, for me, it's also just about getting as good as I can. I started running quite late and I'm still not hitting my level in everything. I mean, we see with my training program and things now that I'm still progressing and I'm super happy to be progressing at 35 years old. And I did some stupid races in the past and I continue to maybe less stupid races. We can talk about TDS, but like I had that kind of unfortunate build up to that race 1 week out, but I learned how to race better. But in the beginning, I thought like racing should be hard, so I was racing super hard from the. And I think in my early ultras, I have still a few performances which they were not amazing in retrospect, but for my level at the time, they were probably way above what should be possible. And I just got lucky a few times because I was like going hard from the beginning. And I love Zach Miller and I will always love Zach Miller. And those videos destroyed me and they will continue to do so.
I want to finish. Like I often will finish a ultra in the same place that he is where I've just given everything out. I just don't look like he does. Like when he gives everything at the end, he still looks fresh. Yeah. He still looks like he's got something to give. I cross equally as gassed, equally with nothing, but I don't look anything like that.
Do you have a running coach?
I will make a bold statement and maybe some of your listeners can correct me. I love to be corrected, so it's fine. But I'm pretty sure that my splits from Les Hoosh and to the finish line during the TDS this year, they're the fastest split ever run in that race. So, and
really?
I was number 74, position 74 at the finish, but I ran I ran really hard the last.
That is the spirit of
8K.
Zach Miller.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love it.
Patrick, do you have a coach? Running coach?
Yeah, I'm coached by a good friend of mine. So his name is Sindre Burros. So he's a previous track athlete. He's racing himself now, mostly kind of say what Americans like to call sub-ultra, but like around 50K distances. So he's also coaching Ida Robsam, which came fourth in the Worlds right now. And she also finished fourth in the OCC. So we have a super good training community here. And also, when you probably saw us also at the CCC finish line, I was crewing my friend Sylvia, who came second. And she's also kind of somehow in this training group or around this training group. So there's a strong female contingent.
Awesome.
So yeah,
that's awesome.
That's you are. So you're running with a lot of very elite runners.
I'm not as elite as them, but I'm running
You're fast. I've seen your splits, Patrick. You can run. Let's talk about TDS.
Yeah.
How'd the race go? How was your experience?
Okay, we can make it very quick. So it's like long races and sometimes long, but like, yeah, I was super fit. I was very confident. 10 days out of the race, I was in a photo shoot in Morsin for Portal, and I had to do my intervals midday, and it was going to be a storm, but I kind of didn't care. We were shooting in the morning, shooting in the evening. So I just went out, and it's the most stupid thing I did this year in total as well, because I always bring a space blanket. I usually bring a wind jacket or whatever. We were on set for a shoot. My stuff was a bit messy. So I just went out in a belt with 0.5 liter and 3 gels to do this like 6 times 10 minutes uphill and then come down again. And on the top of this mountain where there is also this crazy llama protecting some some sheep, there comes a thunderstorm, and I'm at like 2,500 meters above sea level, and I don't even have a t-shirt with me. So I'm just like, okay, I'm fucked. I'm scared of this lightning. I need to get down. And I'm in a pair of shoes, which are not the most stable shoes. And I'm running for the life of me, basically, because there were some strikes just like 300 meters in front of me. And there is a hailstorm coming. And I run down and I end up spraining my ankle super badly. So that was 10 days out of my race. I've never been in that kind of shape. I spent the good part of like 2.5 months before the race in Chamonix. I had to get out one time to Paris for work, and I had to get out one more time for 2 days. But I was like training like an elite, even if I was working from Chamonix. So I was really excited for the race. I felt super confident. But then, the ankle sprain was really bad. So I went to see two doctors. They both said like 6 to 8 weeks before you run. What they didn't know was that I was still running on it. So I didn't tell them. And then I went to see a physio. And this physio, she was a bit more crazy. Like kind of, she was like caring more about my pH value in my body and eating lemons and just like a bit more on the fringe side. And she was like, I'm not sure you can finish this race, but I'm sure you can start. So that gave me some hope, but even 3 days out of the race, I had a lot of pain in the on the ankle, just even standing on it. So, but I went to the start, and it was very unstable for the first 70K. So I was taking it super easy, and then I saw my coach, and I was a bit upset, and I said like, I know I'm kind of just like top 120 or whatever. I didn't really care for the position, but I said, I don't like to race this way. This is not a race for me. I understand that people around me were putting a lot of effort at that pace, but it was not me putting effort. So my ankle felt a bit more stable, and I just decided to start to run. And the second half of the race was pretty good. Of course, you have some low points when you are racing for 25 hours. That's always going to happen. But I was like, my pace was pretty good. I was passing like 30 people in one uphill, another 30 people in another uphill. Then some people also did catch me once in a while. But my ankle was a bit better. And after the race, my ankle has been pretty okay. So I'm racing another 100K, like Kullaman, this like a dark Swedish forest race during the night in 3 weeks or four weeks.
So, is that a UTMB race?
Yeah, that's a UTMB race. Yeah. So I have some stuff left in the tank that TDS didn't get from me. So I want to kind of use my shape this year. But I love the race. TDS is so cool. The route is so cool. I hope to do UTMB maybe next year, but I would also just love to go back to the TDS. And I think maybe it's more suitable for me. It's a bit more technical. It's beautiful. I think it's some of the most beautiful sections I saw in a race there within that race. And I'm not even going to give away what section it is, because I think people need to run the race and not just go and run that section.
Yeah.
Hey, if you're digging this, will you like, subscribe, leave a comment, rate, review, all that stuff? That helps us tremendously get in front of more people who are like you. Okay, back to the conversation.
What was kind of your gear rundown for the race? Were you in full Portal?
Yeah, I was in full Portal besides the vest, because our prototype vest is a medium. I can train in that, but stuff is still moving a bit around for me. And also that vest, we didn't measure it yet, but that's maybe like a kind of like traditional, like a 8 to 10 liter. And even if I was super minimal on my equipment for that race, I think I need like a kind of 12 liter setup. So that race is also, that vest is made for racing and for like runners, but it's our first vest. So I don't think we wanted to make something so specific that it's just like only for a 100 miler.
Right. Right.
So I raced in a Salomon, like an all white, I think it was like a UTMB limited edition, like the S-Lab vest. I used to run a lot in those vests in the past, and yeah, they are super comfortable for me. So sometimes they have changed the pockets to be a bit different, and I prefer the old version. But now I think they're back at a place where I think they're very usable. So, and then I raced in the Hoka Tecton 2.5. So some people are also upset I have this shoe, but
how do you have that shoe?
I have this shoe because my friend, he was pacing someone during Western States last year, and he was with another brand at that point. So he didn't have any kind of reason or incentive to buy the or run in the Hokas himself. So he got a pair for me, so I was super happy about that.
Nice.
So I've saved them, but they were kind of dead. There was like 1 kilometer around 120, 25. I felt the shoe died on me. It was strange. Really? I never had this happen.
Like the midsole?
So I think midsole was completely kind of gone, but usually it happens over time. But I felt it happen between like 1 kilometer, another 2-3 kilometers. It was kind of like fading. So I changed to the Mafate 5 and I finished in a brand new pair of Mafate 5. And I was lucky that I had a pair of those since June. So I was very confident and comfortable in that shoe.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
So, and I ran pretty fast in that, like my last section, I said. And I didn't feel that it was kind of hindering me. Of course, it's not a very light shoe, but I love that shoe as an everyday kind of trail shoe. I think training the amount I did this summer without getting any kind of niggle or injury, I give a lot of that credit to both the Mafate 5 and actually also Satisfy the Rocker, which I think also is a very easy, good, comfortable shoe.
We chatted shoes a lot when we met in Paris, so I know you've been into trail shoes for a long time. I see that you wear a lot of Hokas. What's your favorite trail shoe of all time? Do you have one that you keep going back to, or like, do you have three pairs that you keep and rotate through?
I'm not really happy, and now I'm kind of locked in with my computer here, but maybe after I should send you a picture of my balcony. My apartment is quite small and I cannot take too good care of all my stuff, but it's actually a mess, that balcony. And I'm sure there's like between 10 and 15K USD just like thrown over this balcony, and they're all half dirty and I feel bad about it, but also like,
Please send us that picture. I'm not able to maintain it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So not everything is Instagram perfect all the time.
Yeah,
but yeah.
Yeah.
I think right now, I mean, as a brand, maybe like I'm closer to kind of like the old attitude of Salomon, but I don't think their trail shoes are anywhere near where they should be in this moment. But I'm the opposite with Hoka, maybe. Like, I don't really so fully relate to the brand, but I think they do amazing footwear for actual runners.
Yeah.
They don't only consider the lifestyle segment or beginners. So I feel as a toolbox, they have a lot of the things I need. They might miss that more technical terrain shoe that is a bit lower stack. And that's where I felt Salomon was super good before. And I raced, for example, Monte Rosa this summer, which is more technical, still quite like was a fast race, but was technical. And I went for the Tecton 2 in the downhill. And from my understanding from Hoka, I see also in the World Champs, and also Judith, she's running a lot in the Tecton 2. And that's a lifestyle shoe for them right now. But so that's taken out of that segment. But still, athletes really love that shoe. So I think that's good for like faster, shorter races. I would even prefer to have like 1 millimeter longer lugs.
Yeah.
So like I said, like there's a lot of things. I tried the new On shoe. It's super nice on gravel and on dry trails. We have a lot of wet trails. The grip is still actually terrible, but I love the shoe. It's super comfortable and it's cool. And I think it got to a new level for them as well. So yeah, I mean, I'm close to some brands and some brands are nicer to me. So maybe some get upset if I say, but also I buy shoes still.
Yeah.
And because I don't get everything I want, I get sometimes stuff I don't want. So yeah, I think it's all good. I also really like the Adidas, the Agravic Speed Ultra. Some people struggled with the midfoot, that it was kind of unstable because it's very narrow. But I was fine with that. And I think the second that's coming early next year will be wider. But I might struggle a bit for like a 100-miler with the heel cap. It's super minimal. So I didn't have any rubbing or issues on long runs for training, but I would be a bit concerned like at the start line of a 100-miler with that shoe personally. Yeah.
Okay. I want to make an observation and then I'm going to ask a question. And maybe Sam is the better one to answer it than you are, but it's about you. Okay. Cool. So I hear the way that you talk about products. You clearly, you know, think about it like a product person or someone who's in design, the way you break it down. Well, when I first heard of Portal, I was just told, hey, you should be paying attention to Portal. This guy, Patrick, is coming from this, you know, background in design, and he's a runner and he's building this, and it's this guy, Colin Meredith, and all this sort of stuff coming together. And, you know, that's how I was introduced to you, you know, as Portal was launched. I'm just curious, like, you know, all of these parts of who you are coming together, like, what would you attribute sort of the notoriety, like, that you were already in the zeitgeist, you know, Patrick Stangby, you know, you had sort of this myth about you that people knew about you. How did you get into the zeitgeist? Like, you know, like, Sam, how did you know about Patrick before? You know, I'm just curious.
That's a great question. I don't know if you would like this term, Patrick, but maybe a tastemaker within the running space.
That's better than influencer, at least. Yeah. I'll take that any day.
Since I know who you are and I know that you are a very good runner and proficient creative, experienced in the industry, I wouldn't consider you an influencer. I would consider you more of like a tastemaker, I guess, and a runner and an industry professional. So I think within like the running space, since although the more like fashion forward side of running has been here now for a long time, it's still for the masses, it's still kind of blossoming and it's still evolving. So Patrick has been somebody who's at the forefront of that, at least creatively, you know, with like Roa, for a long time. So there's only, you know, if you're doing that, and you've been doing it for a long time, you will inevitably make your way around in, you know, in the spaces that we all occupy, whether it's online or in real life. So that's how I guess I discovered Patrick and people like Colin and Portal. It's really just if you put good stuff out, whether it's content or apparel, clothing, people will notice it.
Yeah. What do you think, Patrick?
Yeah, I think Sam is probably right. And I don't know, like, kind of like, it's a kind of difficult to self-reflect on, but I was always just super curious in my life. I mean, I worked in fashion I worked in stores, but I went to Paris when I was 20. I didn't know anyone. I just like met some guys online and they thought I could come and intern. And I didn't know that, like, if these people were serious, I'd never been in Paris before. So I just like got a flight and tried to find the cheapest Airbnb possible. And all my friends were going to the beach for summer holidays. And I went to stand inside like a basement showroom somewhere in like Marais in Paris. So I think it's also about like kind of taking some opportunities, taking some, not necessarily risk, but being curious. And I get that from some of my Norwegian running friends as well. Like, I mean, when we get to Chamonix, like I always bump into someone that I know either from the US or Australia or Switzerland, or I think my network is quite broad at this point, and it's because I'm curious. I want to meet these people. I'm happy to train with other people. I also want to contribute back into what I enjoy myself. And I think it's always conflicting, this sometimes having a semi-public or public persona as well, because people have this understanding of you and they don't know you as a person or your personality. Mm-hmm. I think that's why podcasts are sometimes good, because you can get a bit deeper or some sense of personality. Yeah. And sometimes I meet people, they were like, oh, you're not like I expected, or but like, okay, you had some kind of judgment from how you saw my social media. And that's on me, of course, but that's also on you, that you have your kind of preconceived notions on what that means to you. So I'm just like, I'm curious, I'm happy to contribute. I hope one day I can be a race director when I'm not training. And I just want to bring kind of energy to the space. And
okay, so now you mentioned the race director thing, and then but you're a designer and you're a runner. Okay, so now I'm starting to put you in this bucket more so of like entrepreneurial over like a product person. Like, I mean, when you, it's a kind of a weird question, but like, what bucket are you in? Like, what bucket do you put yourself in? Like, are you just kind of like you chase things you're interested in?
Yeah, I'm also like, I'm not a trained designer, and I currently also don't work with like actual physical design. Like with Portal, for example, Colin does all the actual CADs and the drawings. And yeah, I work a lot with John, which came from also from Rafa and other brands in the past. We kind of spec products. So
yeah.
I'm like the kind of, I'm working before, I'm working a lot of concept, I'm working with fabric, I'm working with color, I'm working on features and attributes that a product needs to have. And then I work with great talent, the same with photography. So I think I will always work with product, but for me, a race is a product as well, right? Or a service. And I think like a t-shirt can also be a service. I could work with food, I could work with art, I could work with architecture. I'm just like, I care about our contemporary culture. And I think product is a part of that. And I'm sure that the day I do a race, there will be some kind of like soundscape on top of the mountain when you get to an aid station that nobody expected. So I think there's ways to do ways I want to do things. And maybe some of them are like, not necessarily, I don't think they're naive, but maybe they're grounded in this kind of stubbornness that I want to alter something, or I want to see it in my way, that I'm not satisfied with just having things in the way they are always. And I think also with age, that's calmed down a bit. I don't need to engineer or design everything around me at every moment, because that becomes a bit obsessive and OCD-like as well. So I'm also fine now to stay in an Airbnb in Chamonix, which has plastic chairs in the balcony. But yeah, if you like, just like sometimes I came there and I was like, can I go and buy some wood and make some chairs? Or like, well, how can I change this place? You know? But then I realized it's not my place and I'm just going to stay there for 3 months. And
I'd be happy to DNF your race anytime. So whenever you come out with that, you let me know. I'll be there, whether it's Oslo or wherever.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk.
I also DNF'd quite some races, so it's fine. It's fine to DNF sometimes.
Hey, me too.
Let's talk Portal. There's a new capsule, if I'm correct about that. Tell us the latest.
Yeah, we launched actually, I think it's 1 month ago today when we're talking today. It's been received very well. So I think this one is in about 25 stores globally, and it's our second season. So we're super happy with that. So it's a bit more geared towards fall, winter. So we have this more foundational product launch in spring. So we're just continue to build on that. We have a merino program, we have a wind jacket, which we didn't have because we're a new brand, and we think it's one of the more versatile, useful pieces as a runner. For us, is the wind jacket. So a lot of times we don't need an actual rain jacket just for the races, but we were super excited to get that out. Then we have some more like kind of heavy jackets that are maybe less also running, but more like other kind of high output winter activities. And I mean, we're having this hiking category, which for us is also quite wide. That's a kind of what it means. So, for example, one of the jackets we built with Thermor Eco Down for this fall, I suppose it's more like a crew jacket or your post and pre running jacket. But I'm excited to take that jacket like ski touring and snowboarding in the winter. And that's not how we communicate that jacket, but that jacket is built with like really, like a fabric package, which is similar to what you would see from like Summit Series, North Face, and like Patagonia Alpinist stuff. So we're kind of confident in all the products we're building that they're at the right level. And I think there's also kind of like a modern look to some of it, right? We're not trying to be like progressive for the sake of being progressive, but we wanted to make an outdoor brand that we felt were from our generation. And that's, I think we're slowly kind of succeeding, or at least positioning ourselves in that way that people are also receiving that. We don't want the product to be super precious. It's a premium brand, but we want people to use the product and use it hard. And when time comes that they might need to replace it, it shouldn't be so expensive that it hurts badly to replace it. At least.
Literally yesterday I was on a walk, and you know, I was in the coffee industry for 8 years and had a specialty coffee roasting company. And you know, you had to treat coffee very precious. My literal thought yesterday when I was walking was that I just think precious is done. I am just so done with precious. You know, even though I love to eat good food, but you know, I don't even like, I'm not even really into the chef coming out and explaining like, and this came from here. Like I want it to be good. I need it to be good. Unfortunately, the new baseline is that it's good. Now, you know, that's no longer a marketable thing that it's good. Like if it's, it has to be good, it has to be sourced well, it has to be thoughtful. I'm just done with precious. So that's funny that you would say that as I've been thinking about that.
Yeah, yeah, we are aligned then. So you're, yeah, you can have a conversation with us. So.
As you guys grow Portal, you know, where do you see it building to? What are you prioritizing as you kind of build the brand?
Yeah, we're building out these kind of blocks. It's like block on block or brick on brick, right? Because we're a small team and we can only add as many pieces every season in terms of our capacity. So, and we're also doing this thing, which we think were very important to be multi-sport, because we have also a team of people doing different stuff. Like I'm running so much right now that I'm not riding a lot, but I went for one good ride last week and one week the week before. So I'm using it on top of what I'm doing. But then, yeah, we think that's kind of important that we're building all these kind of different directions in terms of outdoor and what it means, because we see a lot of people are doing several activities. And we also think that some of the products from these different activities, they can inform each other and the innovation together. And we also wanted stuff that was kind of versatile, because I have a lot of product. I work with product and I love product, but I'm also, like I said, like my apartment is not huge. And sometimes I feel bad also in terms of sustainability for having the amount of stuff that I do. And I think sometimes it's okay because you work with it and you want references, but I also don't want to have that amount of stuff. And especially with my running things, I realized, okay, I have like X amount of windbreakers and there is like something wrong with half of them. That's why I have this amount. Can we just try to optimize so this thing works on bike? It also works running. And then, of course, might not be the optimal solution for everyone, but for those people who can relate, maybe right. They can have also one jacket less in their arsenal.
I love that.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. I find myself, I bike. I used to bike a lot more. I mostly run now. But I find myself now when I haven't really bought as much bike gear over the years. So I find myself just bringing running pieces over to biking. And you do it and you realize, oh, yeah, these translate really well. I don't really like it. You know, at what point does it need to be so specific? Obviously, a bib short, you probably wouldn't wear that running and you wouldn't wear a run short to bike. But your Portal windbreaker, that's something that you could tuck into your bike top, your bike jersey, and pull that out for the descent if it's cold. So certain pieces translate really well, and it's easy to have that when you're just, you know, your main priority is movement, outdoor movement.
So Patrick, first off, I want to say thanks for joining us. Second, I want to say I hope to see you at UTMB next year, going big, crushing Zach Miller's course, you know, his personal best on that course. I'm just a fan. I've loved, you know, getting to engage with you on social media, talking shoes, you know, and messaging about that and seeing what's happening with Portal, seeing you at Paris Fashion Week. I think it's just fun to be paying attention to what you're doing. So, you know, not going to call you an influencer, but the tastemaker piece, like watching what you're doing, you know, seeing that, you know, the stuff that you've done with Zara, I'm inspired by that and I'm stoked that you're doing it. And so, let's have you on again soon when we can talk for a long time, because I feel like we could talk for a very long time.
Yeah, let's do that. So, and yeah, let's see. I think Zach Miller's time is still safe, but who knows? Let's call my coach next time.
Yeah.
Yes, I like it. Let's summon some of that American energy.
Next time we hang out, we'll have to turn on Zach Miller versus Hayden Hawks, North Face Endurance.
We can do that. Challenge. So I've watched that video for breakfast and I watched it before I'm going to bed. So I think any time of the day, that's like a good video for me. So.
That's the best.
Perfect.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, maybe we'll see you at Paris Fashion Week in January.
Yeah, I hope so.
Thanks, Patrick.
Thanks.
See you soon.
Salt Lake Foothills Show Races is back on May 30th, 2026 for the fourth year of super hot running with lots of gain and a growing party at the finish line. This year, we're adding a 50 miler on top of the 50K, half marathon, and 10K. This year, we're adding prize money for our elite friends who want to join. But it's not just about the elites. It's about everybody. We celebrate everybody. Path Projects is joining us again. They'll be at the finish line with folks like Floris Gearman and Billy Yang, hanging out, welcoming every single one of you into the very end. link to Ultra Sign Up is in the show notes. See you May 30th, 2026 in Salt Lake City.